Welcome to Module 8, and we are continuing our journey with Mercury, the god of communication, the energy of communication, intimacy, healing. And we're going to go a little deeper this time. So we are focusing on a left pinky finger, our left pinky finger. And some of the things that I will say will be a repeat, but also deepening of what we went over in Module 7. Some may have a new way of approaching what we addressed in Module 7, and all of which we addressed there still applies in Module 8. So let's start with the shadow this time, the shadow side of the left pinky finger. And the shadow side, first of all, is about isolation. So this one took me a while to understand because whenever I thought about isolation, I thought about somebody who goes living in the woods and doesn't want to see anybody, just kind of lives like a complete hermit, like completely isolated, deserted on an island. Just complete desolation, isolation. And when I began to work with this energy and learn and keep learning, I began to understand that actually one can be very isolated in a very crowded place. So you could claim to have all these people in your life, all these friends, yet you still are isolated. And the isolation comes from the emotional detachment. It comes from fear of deeply connecting with people. So you may have had this experience before where you are literally standing in a room, in a party room full of people. Everybody is having fun. Everybody is connecting, talking, chatting, enjoying themselves. And you feel like it's all happening around you and you are not a part of it. That's one way that isolation shows up. Another way the isolation shows up is when you feel like you are disconnected from people. Like you may say you have friends, you see people at work, you interact with people in your business, but you feel like none of it is really connecting to you. Like you are not connected to any of them. And all of that comes from intimacy issues. So we're going to go deeper into the conversation about intimacy. And again, we are taught that intimacy, well, first we are taught that intimacy has to do with sexuality, which is just such a tiny sliver of it. Intimacy is about connection. It's about allowing yourself to be seen. That means I have nothing to hide. That means I don't have to control and manipulate my environment and my relationships to stay covered up and to hold something from you. We talked about it quite extensively in Module 7, and this is definitely one of the biggest aspects of the shadow side on the left pinky finger. And it's trust, right? Because what's intimacy really about? I don't trust the people. I don't trust myself. I don't trust life. So there is a big message about trust in this energy. And it extends into surrender. So intimacy absolutely requires us to surrender. Now, before I go any farther, you may still be in a conversation of surrendering means like I give myself over. And even that's not really accurate, but surrendering means I give up. Just take me, do whatever you want with me. Like I give up. I am resigned. Life just throw me all over the place, you know, surrender like in a war when one side surrenders, the other one just, you know, does whatever they need to do with the country. It's not like that. This is about surrender to life, to divine, to God, surrender to something that is so much bigger than we could ever imagine. That we could really ever understand. Surrender means I don't try to control. Surrender means I truly trust life. Even if things aren't working out a certain way in the moment, I trust life. Doesn't mean I sit there doing nothing, but I trust that things will work out. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm going to trust that it will, and I'll keep moving forward. I won't wait. So this is huge. I won't wait to have everything figured out. I will trust that I will get what I need as I keep moving forward. I practice this consistently because it is part of my lesson. Left Mercury, left pinky finger. So I am playing with this constantly. How much am I trusting? And this is not about blind trust. This is not about being naive. Like, oh, you know, sometimes people say, God will provide. God will provide if you move towards it. Then yes, God will provide the solutions, the opportunities, the answers. But you have to be in receptive mode. And receptive mode doesn't sit on a couch waiting for it to happen. Receptive mode is open and listening and willing to follow through on whatever is provided. The answer, the solution, the steps, the plan. That is when God provides. That is when things happen. That is when synchronicities occur. But one must trust. I must trust, which is a huge topic in itself. So let's keep going with this. Intimacy. Ooh, intimacy. So again, I touched a little bit on it and then I moved forward, but let me just go back to intimacy for a moment. Intimacy is about allowing myself to be seen, allowing myself to be heard, allowing myself to be understood, allowing myself to connect to somebody without an agenda or some way of protecting or withholding, because I don't believe, I don't trust, I don't think they'll have the best intentions. So I must protect myself. So I must, you know, somehow manipulate the situation, manipulate this conversation, and control. So think about it this way. This is something that I've worked with, and I will probably continue working with for the rest of my life because it is part of my lesson. On the shadow side, it is controlling the outcome too. If I don't trust myself to handle something, I will control the outcome. So a very, very clear example is somebody who keeps their business very small. And they keep their business very small so they can control situations. They don't trust themselves to handle bigger issues, bigger problems. They don't trust themselves to be seen and have relationships with more people. A lot of people will be in a conversation of, I'm an empath, so I need a lot of time alone. Yes, you do. I get it. So do I. I actually just learned recently that there is a whole new level to how much time alone I need than what I thought. Like, it's a lot more than I thought. And do I trust myself to create something through my business, in my life, socially, that I still allow myself to create the boundaries that will support me in having plenty, all that I need, time alone, while also be in relationship and intimately connected to people? On a severe side of this will literally show up like somebody not... like, it's difficult to be touched. And I've met these people. At some point, I was actually in a relationship with a person. I was in a relationship, asked me if I was ever abused or violated, because there was a level to which I would allow myself to be touched. Like, I'm a hugger. I love to hug people. But there was a level at which it wasn't okay with me. And I would do funky things to avoid it. And then I started working on it and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, this is like a deep level of intimacy. Like, touch is powerful. Touch is energy. And the more energetically sensitive we become, the more we can get into this place of like, I don't want somebody polluting my energy. I don't want somebody with this energy to touch me. But really, and it could be the case. I'm not saying it's not. But really, at some point, there is also this layer of being like fearing intimacy, including touch, including being, you know, connected to people. Another way that this could show up is afraid of people around you to heal. Ooh, this is really hard to swallow. But imagine, and I'm not saying that's where you are, but sometimes people are scared of creating space for others to heal. We want to, but we are scared of it. And we sometimes will misconstrue this fear for, you know, I don't want this kind of people around me or this kind of energy. But really what's underneath it is that deep, deep fear of intimacy. Healing is a very intimate journey. Like, people do not, like, in this, let me just say, in a society where we are right now, not enough value is given to the sacredness of true healing. People who are in any kind of healing modalities, and you know I already stand for this, if you've been in my world, we really must own the value, and I mean monetary value, of creating a healing space. It is the most sacred relationship one can be in, to allow for vulnerability, to open space, to allow yourself to be the space for somebody to heal. And sometimes it's a layer of, like, I don't want to take the responsibility, I'm afraid of responsibility, but really it's the fear of the intimate connection in a moment when a healing happens that scares us more than anything. This is also fear of being abused. So this is still a shadow. We haven't touched the mastery path yet. I really wanted to dive deeply into the shadow. This is a fear of being abused if somebody gets too close. And whether one was abused or not, this energy could absolutely still operate within us. Being afraid of being abused if somebody gets too close to us. Like, if I let you too close in, if I share too much, you can use this against me. If I let you in too close, you'll know so much, and then you will hurt me in some way. You will either act or do or say things that will hurt me. And I'm not even talking about, like, physical abuse. This is very much about abuse with words. Like, if somebody knows too much, they could use the knowledge about you to spread the word that's not very kind about you, or they could use the words to hurt you, right? They could say, if somebody knows too much about you, they could say the things that you least want to hear, and that will hurt, unless, of course, we'll get to that in a mastery side, you have done the healing, right? But it's the fear of being abused as a way to not get intimately connected with people. This is also, shockingly, I know you're going to get shocked by this one, this energy could be very committed to sharing advice with people and solicited advice. So this is where a lot of people who have, who open up to the gift, who like learn things, and all of a sudden something gets activated, they want everybody to know, especially if it made a difference for them, right? This could have been you. Like, this was me at some point. When I learned a healing modality, I wanted to tell everybody about it. And I wanted everybody to take my advice from what I learned, right? Like, when I first started learning how terrible certain kinds of foods are, I wanted to tell everybody. People online in McDonald's don't want to hear about this. If they did, they would have found the message and learned about it and made different choices. People online in McDonald's are committed to having McDonald's meal, and they don't want anything to stop them from having it. Especially somebody telling them, do you know how unhealthy McDonald's meals are? And do you know? They are not interested in listening. But those are the people that usually, as soon as we awaken, we want to tell them, oh my God, you should, like, this and this and that. Like, we are so committed to telling people. We provide and solicit advice, and then guess what happens? We get burned, we get rejected, and we make up a story that nobody wants to hear what we have to share. People reject me when I share. I don't want to share because nobody cares. But it's not because nobody cares. You just shared. You first, you didn't ask, hey, are you interested to know about the quality of this Big Mac you're about to have? I highly doubt anybody says that. People who on the shadow side usually will just vomit the information, pun intended, versus asking. So giving and solicited advice and then getting frustrated and shut down when people don't take this advice. I had a friend many, many years ago who was diagnosed with cancer for a third time, and she was still smoking, and she just had very unhealthy habits about how she was with her family. No boundaries whatsoever, which, by the way, we'll talk about it in a second, is shadow side of this as well, of Mercury, left pinky. But she just had no boundaries. She didn't take care of herself. She was smoking, and she was diagnosed with cancer for the second time. She went into remission, and then she was diagnosed again. And I remember it was a time when I started learning about nutrition and how food can change our health, and how positive thinking and talking to ourselves in a positive way, talking to our body in a positive way, instead of rejecting and fearing cancer, loving it up. Like, I started just learning all these things, right? And oh my God, every time I saw her, I gave her a new CD. This was still like we had CDs, because crazy enough, this was like 20 years ago. Oh my goodness. So I would give her CDs. I would give her new books. She didn't touch any of them. And I would get so frustrated. And at some point I said, I don't want to hear anything about your health unless you start reading the books, which of course put a riff in our relationship. The truth is that she didn't want to hear. She wasn't interested in healing. She wasn't. And until somebody is interested in healing, they won't do anything to heal. So I was frustrated by her lack of willingness to take my advice. But the truth was, she never asked for it. So then I became frustrated and I started making up a story that people don't care. Thankfully, I found support to remind me that that's not true. I was just talking to the wrong people. So on a shadow side, we give unsolicited advice when not asked, and then we get frustrated and shut down. We tend to lose ourselves to others. Lose ourselves to others means this inappropriate rescue. Like me, I was trying to rescue my friend from her misery. We try to rescue people. We try to get them out of situations when they really are not interested in changing anything. One, we see them as somebody who needs rescuing when they're not. They're just happy where they are. Two, we see them as somebody who is a victim and they need a savior. So we tend to rescue people, and you usually do it at our own expense. So again, we pour energy and intention and that gets shut down. It takes away from us. It takes away from us. Either it's time, energy, love, willingness to share, willingness to grow a message, or whatever it is. It's at our own expense. Improper surrender. So we talked a little bit about surrender and not willing to surrender, but there is another aspect to it on a shadow side, which is improper surrender. We get lost. We get lost in relationships. I know I've been there. My life is going in a certain direction, is on a certain trajectory. I meet the guy and then everything, all of a sudden, I lose myself in his life, in his intention, in his vision. I lose myself in the process. Or sometimes it happens too when people are caretakers and they do it in a way that has them completely give themselves over to the rescuing of the and caring of the other person versus finding a way to care for the person, but also finding boundaries, creating boundaries. So the shadow side is inappropriate surrender, improper surrender, right? Completely giving yourself over to others. This is also and hold on, because I'm thinking about how to say this. Manipulating others. So we got into trickery a little bit in module 7, but this is similar to that. Deceiving people to get what you want. We don't do it consciously. We are good people, but subconsciously we may for a moment become somebody we're not to get what we want and lose our true self in the process. For example, getting in a relationship and becoming somebody you're not because you think that being that will get you whatever you want, the ring on your finger or whatever it is, right? So inappropriate surrender and deceiving others to get what we want, while in the process, losing our true self. And finally, this is the alchemist who doesn't look at the big enough picture. The alchemist who focuses on the small, the immediate versus looking at the big picture and how different components of the situation and different energies are interplaying together. So afraid to trust yourself to see the big pictures. For example, when money goes away or money doesn't show up, instead of on a shadow side, we will look at the lack alone and worry and be afraid and then lean into our masculine, try to make it happen. Instead of looking at the bigger picture, looking at the opposing energies, looking at the different sides of what's happening, and then we'll get to the mastery side, becoming the alchemist in the situation. So on the shadow side is not looking at the big enough picture. Holding back. Holding yourself or others. Holding others back from their transformation. So this, the way it looks is like, and I don't think it will apply to anybody who is listening to this recording now or ever, because I know we are open-minded and we love to support people. But I want you to imagine for a moment that people who are on the journey, who are awake and already working on transformation, may still hold other people back from transformation because out of fear of what it will cause them to become. They don't trust. They're afraid to surrender. So they hold their partners back or the people closest to them back from transformation, from alchemizing their energy into something different. But it's because we don't trust ourselves. And I'm, you know, to whatever degree you don't think this is you, it's coming in really strongly right now is question that maybe it is you. Like, what if there is some part of you that is afraid of your partner to take certain action, to be a part of transformation? Like, you would want them to do the work, but you don't really. So you'll hold them back from it. Why? Because you don't fully trust yourself and you are afraid of what it will call upon from you. This is just energetically coming in. So just explore it. I'm not saying it's true. And just know that this is a shadow side of this energy. So if it's part of your lesson or your purpose, there is a pretty good chance that it will somehow show up. Holding others back from growth out of fear, our own fear of what it will take from us. So we're not trusting that we will have what it takes to handle. This is really like the theme for that. We don't trust that we will have what it takes to handle the change, the growth, the expansion, not just our own, but the people around us who will then cause us to look at things we don't want to look. Because it's intimacy, right? So it's all about relation. There is no intimacy. Yes, there is intimacy with self for sure, but really, the biggest work about with intimacy happens when we get in relationship with other people, any kind of relationship, romantic, friendships. When we are faced with other people intimately connected to us is when we can finally see the mirror of the things we have been intimately trying to avoid, prevent, hiding, disconnecting, covering up. I can be intimately connected to myself and intimately engaged with myself until somebody shows up and they show me the places where I'm still hiding. So it's really not trusting that I have what it takes, not trusting life, myself, other people, not being willing to surrender to the process. Okay, so let's move into the mastery. Ooh, on the mastery side, this is healing energy, healer. So we touched upon it. There is definitely that energy on the right pinky finger for sure, the healer energy. There is a gift marking under the both pinky fingers that are a gift marking of a healer, somebody who absolutely has healing gifts that they must express. And we are diving deeper into the healing conversation on this left side. Because this absolutely requires not just to communicate, but to communicate from intention of healing and understanding that on the mastery side, when we communicate from intention to heal. So we don't withhold. Right? Because I know that if I share from the right place, yeah, I may not say it the right way. I may have to clean it up. But my intention is knowing and being grounded in when I share this, when I open my mouth, when I communicate with you, there is a healing that's possible. If I withhold, there is no healing that's possible at all, right? So being in a state of grace, grace is such a loaded topic. So people, I think like we really don't understand grace. Like we're learning to understand grace, but we really, really, truly don't. Like grace is a very high vibration. Grace is a very, very high vibration. It's actually one of the highest vibration on a Hawkins scale. Energetically, it's one of the highest vibrations we can be in. So being in this state of grace, and think about the opposite. The opposite is not trusting. On the mastery side, I'm in a state of grace. It doesn't mean that I'm an idiot trusting somebody who is clearly lying to my face or going in a dangerous area in the middle of the night by myself because I trust life and I trust people. No. I trust myself that if I have an insight to not go in the middle of a dangerous area in the middle of the night, walking under a bridge, dark bridge or a tunnel in the middle of the night, I'm not going to do it. But I have a sense of grace. So on the mastery side, I walk through life with grace. I know when to trust. On a mastery side, I have access to this part of me that creates a state of grace where others can heal within. So on a mastery, I actually create a space for others to heal on mystical levels, on psychological levels. I create intentionally a space for others to heal. And it doesn't have to be a physical space. It's energetic. It's emotional. I am the space within which somebody can experience a healing, a transformation. And I myself on a mastery side seek out transformational experiences. I willingly put myself in situations that are uncomfortable so I can heal whatever is there that is causing discomfort. I seek out opportunities and challenges that expand me and allow me to heal things that up until now may have stopped me, may have been scary, may have been dangerous, perceived as dangerous. I don't mean true danger. I mean the conversation. I mean emotional engagement. That's what I mean. Okay. Seeking transformational experiences. On the mastery side, I travel between the worlds with ease. On the mastery side, I am willing to go deep into the underworld and deep into new levels of dimensions. And I am willing to walk the earth in a 3D environment. Having a 3D experience, knowing that I can easily move between the realms and connect the realms. And again, being the healing space for others, this is really, really powerful. Imagine walking in such state of grace. Doesn't mean you're not human. Doesn't mean you don't get frustrated. Doesn't mean you don't hurt. You don't have pains and struggles. But you intentionally choose to be more and more and more often be a space of grace in which people can heal and transform. And allowing yourself to have deeply healing experiences. Now, if you look up Mercury online, you may also find that the double helix is a symbol of a Mercury energy. The double helix is a symbol of a Mercury energy. So if you know what I mean, double helix is like the medical field has that as a symbol as well. Hello, right? Healing. But there is also the merging and uniting of two forces, the masculine and the feminine. This is a huge part of the left pinky finger, is uniting the opposites, uniting the feminine and the masculine, being a space where these two blend for a healthy union. The two serpents circling together, one representing the feminine, one representing the masculine, coming together to provide a space of unity, a transformational experience, the ultimate healing of blending the feminine and the masculine. And Mercury, so let me just dive a little deeper here into the mythology. So Mercury is the god that went to rescue Persephone. So remember, on the shadow side, it is the improper rescuing. We engage in improper rescuing of people. On the mastery side, we serve as a messenger that provides, that does rescue, but it rescues the vulnerable and the innocent. And when I mean vulnerable, I don't mean when we just feel things and get vulnerable. I mean like children, pets. So this energy absolutely rescues, but those who physically cannot rescue themselves, right? Abused pets. I have such a big place in my heart for abused pets, even more so than children, but they're pretty close together, sadly. So this is like Mercury is the one who was the messenger who went into the underworld and made a deal with Hades to rescue Persephone. He negotiated a deal that was a win-win for everyone involved. So Persephone got what she wanted, and her mother got what she wanted, and mostly, and Hades got what he wanted. He struck a deal. So remember the gift of persuasion on the left Mercury? Some of it seeps into, on the right Mercury, some of it seeps into the left pinky finger. Its ability to create a deal in a way that's a win-win, to rescue. So this is somebody who, like, at the most extreme example would be, and I'm not saying go do it if this is like part of your purpose or lesson, you don't have to do it, but I'm just giving you an extreme example. This is somebody who might be the negotiator for going into house of a sexual predator and negotiating a deal to rescue children. And I'm not saying the one who like arrests and makes the case and puts them in jail, but what if like negotiating a deal, right, with them to rescue the children without all the legal stuff? So this is just like a very, very, a very drastic example. But think about it on a different way. What if this is, what if this energy is used in healing in a way that negotiates with the person to create a healing? Like if somebody isn't willing to go all the way and they stop, there could be a way that this energy and this beautiful archetype of Mercury could be used to negotiate with the shadow in the moment to allow the person to move into the light. So this is also somebody, this energy could make a meaning of something that might otherwise be difficult. So this is a shift in perspective. I actually pride myself in being really good at this, being able to help people see different perspective to create ease in a situation that otherwise might be difficult to stomach so they can actually do something about it. So let's say something terrible happens, finding silver lining, but not to like skip over the healing, or this is enough for somebody to move forward in creating a different solution. Very powerful, very, very powerful. Okay, let's keep moving. So as a communicator, because absolutely still a huge part of this archetype on the left pinky finger, as a communicator, this is still a very inspiring communicator with family, with this is going to be more about like with family, because it's a left. So on the right side, it's the energy of the inspired communicator to the masses. On the left pinky finger, this is more in closest circles, the ones closest to you. the ones closest to, and this is about genuine communication. This is about being authentic in what we are speaking and sharing. Of course, we always want to be, but remember, on a shadow side, there is the trickster energy, there is the manipulation to control the outcome, to control how people will respond, or we perceive they will respond if we communicate in a certain way. On a mastery side, this is about being really genuine in the This is a gift of being able to see all sides. So again, think about negotiation, right? Like I just shared, this is somebody who would negotiate with, you know, like Mercury negotiated with Hades to let Persephone out for 3/4 of the year, and then she would come back for the winter to see him. If you know the mythology, if you don't, that's okay. But it's a really fascinating one, and we use it a lot in hand analysis because there are so many layers to it. I use Persephone energy a lot in my teaching, even if I don't talk about it, because it's so powerful in where we are right now as humanity. So it's being able to see all different sides as to create a powerful negotiation and a powerful win-win for everybody involved. And this is somebody who, speaking of surrender, so we talked about it on the shadow side. On the mastery side, this is somebody who allows themselves to surrender, but at the proper time. Surrender at the proper time. Timing is everything for surrender. So what does it mean, surrender at the proper time? It's actually proper surrender at the proper time. It means that I yield. So I'll give you an example. Daniel and I were walking the other day. I know I love using his and my examples because I think they're just so clear and I see so many opportunities to share it. This is about surrendering to higher self and the soul, really understanding what does it mean when I surrender to my higher self? What does it mean when I surrender to my higher self? This is also about Mercury. Mercury is actually as a... like when you think about Mercury, like the best way that I am familiar with it is Mercury in the old thermometers, right? It is very, if you ever broke a thermometer and try to like gather Mercury, it is very hard to gather. I've done it by mistake, but I remember, first of all, is dangerous, poisonous, but that's not the point. The point is that it's very slippery and difficult to gather. It's difficult to grasp and collect. Why? It shapeshifts. And that's one of the qualities. It's this like quicksilver properties of this archetype that are very powerful. It's hard to capture because it's constantly changing shapes. So this is, again, this could be a powerful gift, right? On the shadow side, this is the trickster. This is the manipulator. This is becoming somebody that you're not to get what you want. But on the mastery side, this is somebody who is a shapeshifter in order to create something, in order to create something, in order to express a dimension, in order to introduce an idea, to communicate something, shape-shifting to communicate, shape-shifting to be an example, shape-shifting to support understanding of something that otherwise wouldn't be. So, this is so good. I actually could make any of this, again, like a whole hour conversation, but we're going to wrap up here. We're going to wrap up this conversation, and I invite you to go deeper in our sharing on Voxer. What's opening up from all these different dimensions of the left pinky finger and this Mercury energy on the left side? Like, what's opening up to you? What are you hearing? And remember, in the highest perspective, Mercury is a communicator. its ability to go between realms and communicate ideas from different realms, ability to provide a healing space, to be with the shadow as much as the light and merge them and blend them. It's the blending of the feminine, masculine to create. It is a very, very powerful archetype that is extremely important at this time. And on the shadow side, it is lack of trust, sabotaging intimacy. I actually want to go deeper into it, so I may be sharing some bonus material. It is about being tricky. It is about giving inappropriately, losing yourself in somebody else's situation, in somebody else's agenda, really to avoid intimacy and to avoid your own, to avoid sharing yourself, your own experience and being who you are here to be. So here's where I'm going to wrap up Mercury, left pinky finger. I am excited to hear what's opening up for you just from us touching on these different aspects of it. Remember, healing is a huge aspect of it for yourself and for other people. So if you have this as a purpose, or if you have this as a lesson, you absolutely must be in some form engaged in something that provides an opportunity for you to be the healer through your words, through your actions, through creating a space. Okay. All right. Let me know. I am excited to hear what opens up for you. Bye for now.